No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the trainer.
Take me to the pilot, I'm not a stranger. Brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plain Radio toll free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Dennis, and our special guest today, Tom Haynes, who used to work with AOPA. Now he's like a consultant emeritus. I don't know. Did you even have an official past title with AOPA that you throw out there to friends, Tom, or just like living legend? Which works,
well,
too.
I promote that one and also Grand Poobah.
Okay.
But, you know, it doesn't seem to get picked up by that many people. So, you know.
You're going to be a Grand Poobah of AOPA or whatever. You take whatever acronym you choose. But, yeah, Grand Poobah. Who doesn't want to be one of those? And Tom Haynes has earned it more than any other aviation guy I know. And we're honored to have him along as part of the Just Plain Radio crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information and just lean on him for his expertise. Because today, at least for a minute or two, it's going to be all about me. Are you ready, Dennis?
Isn't it like this every week, though?
Well, not every week. Maybe every other week.
Why did this show get started in the first place? Was it so you could get your pilot's license?
Right.
So you could go scuba diving?
Right.
This hasn't changed. Our audience knows this.
Yeah, that is true. But I keep having these roadblocks thrown in front of me. So, which brings me to my latest certified letter from the FAA. Yes, I got one this past week. And that's never a good feeling. You know, I get advance notice of what my mail is going to be every day, and I see that there's a certified letter coming from the FAA. I'm like, no! You know, and I'm thinking, because that never is usually good. It hadn't been good so far. Actually, one out of three times it's been good for me. But, of course, this one was not. So, you know, because of the special issuance that I had to attain to get my third class medical. We've covered that in, you know, the last year or two, trying to jump through all the hoops. And I've done it. I've gotten everything approved. Our buddy, Dr. Bush, who's a aviation doc, he kind of helped me through the process. And we got my third class medical exemption, special exemption approved by the FAA. But they've asked for follow-up stuff, like, you know, which is kind of annoying because, you know, you go through a stress test and blood tests and all this kind of stuff that they want. You do that all up front. And then they wanted it again, not even 6 months later. And I was like, really? And, you know, it snuck up on me pretty quick. So after the first of the year, after the holidays, they wanted it again. So I had to go through all the hoops again and go through a stress test and everything. Everything was great. Got everything done. Talked to Dr. Bush. He said, yeah, just put it all in the envelope and, you know, send it off the FAA. We should be good to go. So I did that a few weeks ago, and then I get this notice that I'm getting a certified letter from the FAA. And I'm thinking, okay, it can be one of two things. Either they said, okay, we got your stuff, everything looks good, you're good to go, or two, which is what it ended up being, like, we want more stuff. You didn't send everything you're supposed to. And I'm like, what could it possibly been? I mean, it was blood work, stress test. I mean, all the rigmarole that you got to do to, you know, jump through those hoops. And it's fine. I did it. I did the blood work, fasting, the whole thing. And everything, all the numbers were really good, by the way. I'm doing quite well. I look at the numbers like, damn, I am quite the human specimen. How about that? I even surprised myself.
Despite the monkey heart, right?
Exactly. And but the FAA sent this letter, and they said, everything looks good, but, well, they didn't say that, actually. They said, your blood work is incomplete. We need to know your A1C. And my blood work that I got taken, it did not have that particular measurement on the blood work. It had all the, you know, lipids and all the high cholesterol, whatever, all the typical blood work stuff. But for whatever reason, my doctor did not do one that included A1C. And I'm like, is it because of that dumb singing commercial that you hear on the nonstop on TV now? And, you know, I mean, what is that all about? I was like, I don't have diabetes or anything like that. I was like, I don't know what's going on. So they want to know what my A1C is. And I was like, oh, gosh. So I put a call into Dr. Bush to find out what do I got to do? But I have a feeling I have to go do a whole new set of blood work, which is going to cost God knows how much more money because I've probably overdone my insurance limits and everything. So I'm a little annoyed today. Does it sound like it, Tom? Are you picking up on my stress?
Yeah, sometimes I miss, you know, the kind of cues and that sort of thing. But this time I do get the sense that maybe you're a little annoyed and frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, despite my numbers being perfect, they're really good. I'm doing really good. I mean, they're going to give me a friggin' heart attack with all this extra stress that they're putting me through. Because, you know, every time I got to do more, you know, jump through another hoop and it's just kind of annoying and stuff. But, I mean, why do they need to know my A1? My A1C, is that a thing, or do you even know, Tom?
It's a great question, given that you're talking about a cardiac situation that led to this whole thing, which really has nothing to do with, as you point out, diabetes. Yeah. And, you know, and if your A1C was high, you know, above their standard, you would have to report that to them as being diabetic, and the fact that you didn't report it should suggest to them that it must not be high.
It hasn't never.
But they still ask for it. So it's just another ridiculous FAA aeromedical requirement of just, you know, asking over and over again for things that your personal physician probably thinks is ridiculous.
Yes.
And doesn't understand why it's necessary, but yet they continue to ask for it.
Yeah. Well, so I you know, I have a feeling I'm going to have to do it. I don't know that there's any recourse. I mean,
no, I think you're going to have to do it.
Yeah. So it's just kind of annoying. I don't know if there's a separate test I can go in and do just the A1C, or I'm guessing I got to go through the whole, you know, blood work, you know, profile or whatever the heck they do at one of those lab places. And
you can ask for certain things to be done. I mean, there's probably some minimum number of types of tests, but there are, if all the cardiac ones, you know, the lipids and all that sort of thing may not be necessary if all you want is A1C.
Yeah.
But obviously your doctor can tell you that for sure.
Yeah, I guess we'll see it. You know, the thing on the letter, I don't even think it says, you know, it doesn't give me like, you got to do this within 30 days or anything like that. So I don't even know what the deal is with that. But that's why I got to call into my aviation doc, AV Doc 51, and he'll fill us in. Maybe we'll have an update next week on that. We're probably going to see the FAA at Sun and Fun here in a couple weeks.
At the rate you're going, Greg, I guarantee you're going to go see them.
I'm thinking if I just go memorize that, what is it, the Ozempic commercial where she sings there about her A1C or what? I don't know which one it is. And maybe if I do a whole production number for him, like, hey, can you cut a guy a break? And you know, they'll probably escort me off the premises. But I'm thinking I got to try something. It's just crazy.
The new federal air surgeon, well, newish now, she's been there a couple of years, is Susan Northrup, and she's a GA pilot. She and her husband are both GA pilots. They own a Baron, I think, you know, GA airplanes. They fly a lot around themselves using GA airplanes, and she's really been working to improve the whole medical experience and kind of bring the aeromedical division of the FAA in Oak City, you know, at least to the 20th century, maybe even to the 21st century. So she's been working hard at it, but they still got a long ways to go. But because she's a GA pilot, it's not inconceivable she'd just be at Sun and Fun. I'm sure if she's there, she'll do something at the FAA building, but she may be there just because she wants to hang out with pilots. So maybe you could buttonhole her and say, dude, what's the deal?
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, I will say advertising works, because I had no idea what A1C was. But then I saw, wait a minute, it's that the friggin' crazy commercial that I hear all the time where the lady's singing about it. And it has something to do with diabetes. But I don't got it. I don't have any diabetes. I'm good. Oh, all right. I guess I've vented enough, but that's the latest. And hopefully it's not going to slow me down any more than I've already went, because the pace I'm going is pretty slow. But it's kind of nutty. But I'm not alone, Tom, right? I mean, all pilots have to deal with this kind of nonsense every now and then. Just come to the territory.
I got a letter from the FAA aeromedical folks a number of years ago, an emergency letter, certified letter, just like yours, saying, hey, you got to do this right now. And it was some stupid thing that the AME forgot to send in. It was no big deal.
How about send me a Christmas card? Send me something positive, FAA. Please. You're making me panic every time I get a letter from you. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Do you have a message or product you need to share with the aviation world? Well, look no further than Just Plane Radio. Just like you, thousands of aviation enthusiasts are hearing this message, and we could be talking about you and your product or service as early as next Saturday. Remember, a terrible thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Go to justplainradio.com, send us an email, and let us get to work to make your marketing message matter.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I'm going to take the plane out for a spin. You want to come with?
Me? Go. Fly?
I played it cool, but I was pretty jazzed.
I love to fly. I love to do most anything. If I could fly, then I would be the king. I'll be the king of the world.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. And Tom Haynes helping us out. Today, so we've been upgraded for this flight through the latest aviation news and information, and we are going to talk about it, that as opposed to just me. We'll save more of the stuff about my special issuance when we get Dr. Bush on here, maybe next week or the week after, and get an update on how that how we have to finagle that incident or situation, and maybe we'll all learn together. But there are a lot of things coming up. I mean, we're literally 2 weeks away from Sun and Fun in Lakeland, the 50-year anniversary. And I know Tom, I was talking to him during the commercial break, you're not going to make Sun and Fun, you don't think, this year, because it conflicts with the eclipse, and you got a family outing to go witness this eclipse, this once-in-a-lifetime event. Is that right there, Tom, or what?
Yeah, actually, yeah, I think it's this is probably the last time and probably our lifetimes that'll be at least passing kind of through this neck of the woods up here in the Northeast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to hop in the motorhome and actually go out to Dayton, Ohio, which is right in the path of totality for the eclipse on the 8th of April.
Right.
And we're hoping for really clear skies on April 8th. But then while we're in Dayton, we're going to go see a bunch of the Wright Brothers events. I haven't been out there years, and we're going to the Air Force Museum, and there's all kinds of aviation stuff in that neighborhood, thanks to the Wright Brothers. Mm-hmm. So we'll be up there instead of at Sun and Fun, but you all have a great time down south, okay?
Yeah, you'll get the total eclipse of the sun there. Yes. They're being in the path. And actually, I was planning to do that myself, and then I realized it was so close to Sun and Fun. I mean, it's the Monday, and then Sun and Fun is on Tuesday, and I know Dennis and I were planning to be there right at the beginning, which I wanted to be, so I was like, I'm going to have to skip on the eclipse. But maybe we'll get a little glimpse of it, or partial eclipse there in Lakeland, Florida. But if you really want to get the whole thing, you got to be in the path which it comes up through Texas, up through Ohio, like you said, into like the Cleveland area, Lake Erie, and into Buffalo, New York, and that kind of thing. But it's like, this will be the, I don't know, the next one's like in over 20 years. This is a pretty unique for the U.S. Situation. Yeah. To get a total eclipse. So have you ever seen one of these before, by the way, yourself?
Well, about one back in 2017 or a few years ago. Yeah. You know, I didn't see it. We were in Frederick, Maryland here at the AOP headquarters back in those days. Went outside and it got a little dark, and the light kind of turned sort of a metal or coppery color.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't get to experience the totality. But we did kind of a cool thing in AOPA in that we had a photography team out in the path of totality, taking photographs in the air of an Eclipse Aerospace 500 jet. So nice. We were during the eclipse, we were shooting an eclipse and got some really nice, beautiful photography. Actually, they used some flash, you know, lights on the from the airplane shooting at the eclipse. So it kind of got the light popped on it with the kind of corona in the background. It was a pretty neat shot of the eclipse.
I bet that'd be amazing. I mean, Delta, you know, chartered some special flights just for the eclipse, which is April 8th, by the way, Monday afternoon, I believe.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, were you part of that flight? Did you actually go up and, I mean, is it really different to see it from an airplane, from airspace like that? Or what do you think? Or do you know?
Well, it'd be pretty fascinating. My airplane was involved, but I was not involved. I was back at the office sitting outside watching it in Maryland. But everybody was there said it was really pretty fascinating. The thing about being on, say, a Delta jet in particular, this thing moves fast, about 1,500 miles an hour. About 1,500 miles is what it's traveling in about an hour and a half from Texas all the way up through, you know, Buffalo and, like you said, up across into Canada. So it's moving really fast. And so if you're in an airliner and you fly along in the path of totality, you get to experience it for a long time. Otherwise, it passes over you in, you know, depends on where you are, but anywhere from 2.5-3 minutes is about all anybody gets otherwise. Yeah.
Okay. So you can extend your enjoyment of the eclipse in an aircraft. And I would imagine there will be some people flying over to Sun and Fun and crossing over that, maybe making that part of their adventure to Sun and Fun on Monday. I just don't know that it's going to be in the cards for us. But when you go this time, you're not going up in an airplane, just taking the motorhome out with the family, and you'll watch from the ground like a common man. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just like regular people.
Yeah. Well, got to do that got to stay grounded. And yeah, there you go. Well, I look forward to hearing what you thought of it. And are you doing anything crazy? Like you'll, you know, shed your clothes and start speaking in tongues or anything? I don't know. What do they do what are you supposed to do? Just look and not burn your eye sockets out?
I hadn't thought about the closing thing, but I guess if everybody has their glasses on, probably nobody would notice what you're wearing anyhow. So,
It's going to get dark. I mean, I'll tell you what I would have done if I was going to witness it and be in the path, is I would go with somebody who had no idea it was about to happen. Like, they don't watch the news. And then I'm just going to, like, you know, act like I'm getting possessed or something. And act like, wouldn't that be, that'd be the best punking possible right there. Right?
Right.
Now you have your mission if you choose to accept it.
Okay.
If you get arrested for it, don't blame me. Anyway, so there's one thing you can look forward to. Another one coming up besides Sun and Fun shortly thereafter, there's a big AOPA event. Is it in May? Is that when it is?
Yeah.
Well, what's going on there?
May 11th, which is a Saturday, rain date Sunday the 12th, which is Mother's Day. There's the AOPA flyover of Washington, D.C., 85th anniversary of AOPA. Mm. And so we're going to fly 60 airplanes down the Potomac River, right down the mall in Washington, D.C., and then, you know, just past the Washington Monument. They're all going to hang a little bit of a right to stay away from the Capitol building and then sneak around behind the Capitol building, head back to Frederick, Maryland, where they'll leave from. And anyhow, so I've been asked to host it.
Cool.
So I'll be on YouTube. So wherever you are, either down in the mall in Washington or anywhere in the world, you'll be able to see this. We'll have camera crews staging around and hopefully some in-flight audio, at least, if not video, coming from some of the participants. And it's really a reflection of general aviation airplanes for the last 85 years, starting with some from the 1930s all the way to the latest one, including some electric airplanes, helicopters, seaplanes, ag airplanes, all kinds of different aircraft will be a part of it, but all general aviation. I'll be hosting on YouTube with Miles O'Brien, who's a well-known journalist and also a pilot. And so we'll be on a rooftop of the American Museum of History with a camera crew and streaming all this to YouTube and telling you all about it.
So, I love that. Now, so how many airplanes again? You said
it's about 60 airplanes.
Is there a reason because there's 60, or that's just how many?
That's about how many we could wedge into a 1 hour. It has to be. We have 1 hour. They're going to close Washington National Airport for 1 hour for us.
Nice.
And the security agencies gave us 1 hour and not a minute longer, so we got to really be on time.
All right. Well, I'm going to at least watch it if we can't participate. That sounds pretty cool. All right. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Frank!
What?
How much longer?
3 hours.
Oh, my God. Can I watch what you're watching? Because the Wi-Fi is not strong enough for me to watch anything.
You should have downloaded movies, then.
I mean, I also have to go to the bathroom.
Well, that's not good. Bathroom on the plane is busted.
What?
Yeah, but you can use the emergency can.
Where's the emergency can?
You're sitting on it.
What?
You just pull that cushion up and get that privacy screen over there. Is it a number one or a number two?
It's a number one.
Nah, let her rip. It's going to go out in the air anyway. Just keep on
flying. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennison from AOPA. Well, formerly, the Big Kahuna Consultant Emeritus, maybe. I don't know. From AOPA, Tom Haynes. We got him along to help us out today. God knows we need all the help we can get. All right, so... Dennis has a, what is this, a survey, research? What is this exactly, Dennis?
That's exactly what it is. Okay. Redbird conducts a survey every year to determine basically the state of flight training, and the numbers are out for their 2024 survey. And the interesting statistic that came out for me is that they said it's taking less time for a student pilot to become a certified pilot. In 2020, it was taking on average about 30 weeks, and it's down to 24 weeks.
Hmm.
So if we look, you know, the only downside, though, is that the cost went up from $9,000 to $14,000 over those same 4 years.
Wow.
So the way I see it, Greg, somebody needs to be paying you because, you know, you've taken 12 years. So, you know, if you're shortening the time window but increasing the cost, you're in the inverse of that, right?
Uh-huh.
So. You've stretched it out 12 years, so the cost should be, you know, lower.
Yeah, the FAA that,
at least that's your math, right?
Paying me to become a pilot at this point. It's kind of remarkable that I haven't skewed the numbers.
You are, but the thing is, with most surveys, they tend to throw out the extremes on either end to get a more cohesive number that actually is based somewhere in reality.
Right. Well, why the big uptick on cost? Tom, you have any thoughts on that? Why it would be, $5,000 more in that time? What do you think?
It's really gone up significantly. We used to say just in general terms, it's around $10,000 to get your private pilot certificate, depending on how fast you want to work through through it.
Yeah.
But obviously the cost of airplanes has skyrocketed. Used airplanes are through the roof. You can hardly get new training airplanes. And so flight schools are having trouble acquiring airplanes almost at any cost. Of course, the price of fuel is high, although it's been higher a few times in the past, but it's still pretty high.
Yeah.
And then flight instructors, you know, they're demanding more money, and rightfully so. Everybody else's income has, for the most part, been up in the last few years, and it's only fair that flight instructors get that as well. And, of course, they're wanting benefits and everything else. So flight school costs are going up rather significantly. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised that the cost is going up, but it's a little remarkable that it's going up at the same time that the time involved to get the rating is going down, which really suggests that the hourly cost is significantly up if you're taking less time and still paying more.
Right.
But again, with what's happening with particularly the price of airplanes, I guess it really shouldn't be a surprise. One of the things that really jumped out at me was the cost of an instrument rating going up from up to also being about $12,000. It just seems like if you already have your private certificate, to then add on an instrument rating and it costing $12,000. I don't know. Dennis, what do you think?
I think it makes a lot of sense because you need 40 hours of flight time to add that instrument rating. Mm-hmm. Even if you have access to a simulator, you can only substitute, 10 to 20 hours, mm-hmm. depending on the class of the simulator you have. And those aren't free. If you look at what the cost of a Redbird is to a flight school or an all-sim or something like that, that can provide, an adequate platform, there's a significant investment that the flight school needs to recoup too. So it doesn't really surprise me at 14 grand. What did surprise me was that it's only $6,000 to add a CFI. That's the lowest cost to add an incremental rating, is to become an instructor. Yeah. Because I guess at this point, you already know how to fly. It's just demonstrating that you can do it from the right seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Demonstrate and you can teach, right?
And I think the biggest part of the CFI training isn't necessarily in the airplane. It's in the classroom.
Interesting.
Being able to, present lessons, be able to sit down with students and get them to understand the material. In some cases, it may be impossible.
Yeah. Well, the fact, too, that the time has... okay, I get where you're
at. He's a little slow.
But what about the fact that it's gotten a shorter amount of time? You think that's good, or do you think and that we've gotten more efficient on the training, or do you think there could be something else going on that isn't necessarily as positive in that light? What do you think, Dennis?
I think that the fact that a lot of these students are coming into zero to hero programs, as opposed to being recreational pilots like you and me, that, I want to become a professional pilot, or I want to become a pilot and just do this as a sideline, has gone away. So most people are in these streamlined programs, get in, get out, get on to the next rating. I think that's probably where the majority of that time consolidation is coming from.
Yeah. Is that good or bad for the industry overall? Tom, you have any thoughts?
Well, it's good that we're driving down the amount of hours. And I think Dennis is right. The people who are coming through that program into, sort of a professional flight training process makes a lot of sense. And I think that kind of gets back to what my point with the instrument rating costing $12,000. Dennis is right. It's 40 hours of flying. But for those of us who approach it from a recreational standpoint, we're out flying around and accumulating some of those hours, some of that cross-country time is just kind of our normal flying. And so when it comes time to go, I think I'll get an instrument rating, some of that's already in the logbook and you're not having to go out and get it specifically for the instrument rating, as opposed to the people who are on this fast track. They do have to go kind of just fly those hours, do that cross-country time in order to prepare for the instrument rating. So for them, it comes at that significantly higher cost. The rest of us are actually burning that money, but we're doing it more from a recreational standpoint, maybe over a longer period of time. So it's probably the same amount. It just doesn't feel like $12,000, I guess.
Right, right. I mean, I see the positives for both sides. I mean, taking your time to go at your own pace. I mean, because I fall in that category, so I got to cut myself some slack. But when you go bang, 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 and you're just doing it for the next certification level, I mean, there's something to be said for that, because you never stop learning. You're constantly in that mode. There's no breaks necessarily, and it kind of keeps you sharper, possibly, kind of like the there's no old bold divers that saying, you know what I mean?
No old bold pilots, yeah.
Right, right. But on the other side of the coin, are they going too fast? Should they take a little bit more time? Are we pushing them through too quickly? You know, with all the rash of incidents that we see in the news, recently, you know, so far, I would say we were talking about this last week, Dennis, but, you know, Boeing's gotten quite a bit of the blame over the airlines and the pilots and that kind of thing. And I'm kind of waiting if that's ever going to swing the other way. Well, hey, these pilots, we need to take a better, you know, look at them. They're not being trained properly or something.
To be honest, that discussion's already happening. I mean, having lunch on Saturday with a bunch of pilots, and that was exactly what they were saying, that the new pilots that are coming into these airlines, they don't know how to fly the airplane.
Yeah.
You know,
well, they may be
basic airmanship is gone.
Qualified, but not necessarily, you know, have the experience that they should have compared to the old school of thinking. I don't know. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, well, I think it's, you mentioned about the, you know, number of hours coming down. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's really about the quality of those hours and how is it, are they, you know, using those hours? Are they out really gaining really solid instrument flying skills, navigation skills, dealing with weather, aeronautical decision making when you're out flying around, or are they flying around the local area? Or, you know, if you're an initial flight instructor, just doing nothing but flight training and you're hard to get out of the practice area, those hours really don't teach you a lot about how to fly an airliner. And so it's no wonder that people show up ready to go into an airliner right seat and maybe don't have a lot of great experience.
Yeah. Well, like I said, so far the mainstream media seems to be pointing their finger at the manufacturers and the airlines and not the pilots. And I'm good with that. Let's leave it there. Let's leave the blame there for now. And hopefully we'll just talk about this amongst ourselves.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Nervous?
Never flown before.
Nothing to it. You sit back, be a bird, and drink up.
Sometimes I cry, sometimes I fly like a bird.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's Maylaw, Captain Dennis. And Tom Haynes helping us out today. Really, we have had a major upgrade on today's virtual cruise through the latest aviation news and information. And AOPA, where he used to work, and he's still, you know, like I say, he's still considered like the grand poobah consultant or emeritus or whatever. There's so many titles. It's nuts. But they do great stuff. And, you know, we talked about the last year they gave away the plane, as they do every year. And the guy who won it, he works for Southwest. Is that what it was, Dennis? Right?
Yeah, he was a pilot for Southwest that won that Cessna 170 backcountry airplane.
Yes, and they surprised him. It was pretty good punking there that he got, and that's a great way to do it, and it worked out pretty good. But we didn't really talk that much about this year's big plane giveaway prize from AOPA, which is what, Tom? What is it?
It's a Cessna 182, but it's a vintage one. It's pretty interesting. The first issue of what was then called the AOPA Pilot Magazine, the AOPA Pilot Magazine, as opposed to Pilot Magazine, as we call it today. Anyhow, it was March 1958. And on the cover was a Cessna 182, which, of course, in 1958 was a pretty new model.
Yeah.
And it was a, as I recall, white or polished airplane with like teal trim on it. We've got pictures of it kicking around the office at AOPA. Anyhow, so what they're giving away is a 1958 Cessna 182 with the exact same paint scheme and a, you know, modern interior, but with the same colors in it as that original 1958 one, and of course with a modern panel.
Nice.
And so they've already painted the airplane, and it is gorgeous, just an absolutely beautiful airplane, white with the teal on it. Looks very nice. And they've done a nice job on the website and in their marketing materials of sort of capturing the essence of 1958 and some of the logos and the fonts and everything and colors that they used in 1958 from Cessna. And yeah, it's going to be a really fun project. They're already well along on it, like I said, with the paint already done and a couple other things. So look for it to show up throughout the year at the big aviation events. You'll get a chance to see it. And, of course, they'll be writing about it in the magazine and online as well.
I'm sure they will. Do they do the paint job before they do all the avionics, or is it kind of just they do it whenever they can do it kind of thing?
Well, normally we did the paint pretty much last, because you don't want it to get banged up when you're putting the engine in and out, or interior avionics, whatever. This year, but the problem with that is, by the time you get to that stage, it's like it's almost done, and then it's like time to give it away, and there's really not a lot of time to show it off at the major aviation events with its completed paint scheme.
Gotcha.
So this year, since paint scheme is such an important part of it, to match the one that was on that 1958 cover, then they actually painted it first. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to be really careful throughout the year as they're doing the rest of the phases, not to damage the paint. And I'm sure they'll be able to touch it up and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Will we see it at Sun and Fun? Will it be on display then?
Great question. Sometimes, you know, some of the schedule for some of the other phases of the upgrades get in the way of the big shows, but they usually try to plan around them. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's at the AOPA booth. It's Sun and Fun. I know they're going to try hard to get it there.
Right. All right. Well, that'll give us another reason to stop by the AOPA booth. But, you know, look, that sounds perfect. I've always thought that if I didn't go for the big gun like the Grand Caravan type thing, I was thinking of 182. That'd be the next step. I mean, it's a little bit more, power than the 172, and it's 10 better. So
there you go.
Right. Common sense, right? Right, Dennis?
Yeah. Well, it does have a lot better payload. I mean, it's not quite the SUV a 206 would be, but it's definitely got room for four adults and some scuba gear and, you know, a little bit more speed than a Skyhawk.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So you feel free to pull it out of the giveaway and just give it to me, Tom. Put on that Grand Poobah hat and, you know, pull some strings. Come on now.
Yeah, well, you might have a better chance if you had, like, you know, private pilot certificate by then or something.
Geez. Right? Well, so much for that idea. All right. Anyway, GA is the way to go, even though I've been, I got to fly commercial. I'm going back up to New York City for a big diving event. You'll hear all about it next week. I'm not looking forward to it, but I've crossed my T's, dotted my I's. I have upgraded to first class. I'm doing everything I possibly can to manage the chaos. So I think it'll be okay. But man, the news just keeps coming out. Where they're coming after us, right, Dennis?
Absolutely. They're coming after your carry-on bags.
Oh, bro. Well, what are they doing? Who is this, first off?
Well, it's actually all the airlines, but recently a Southwest Airlines gate attendant was rattling off, if you got fanny packs, body bags, shopping bags, pillows, blankets, all of those count towards your two-item limit. So all those tricks and techniques that people have been trying to do to get around the carry-ons, they're on to you. So, it's two carry-on items only. So,
So if you have a blanket,
pack accordingly,
or something, you don't have it in a bag, they'll try to ding you?
Yeah.
Is what you're saying?
So what you need to do is pack your blanket in your bag. Once you're in the airplane, then you can take the blanket out and put it on your lap, but don't try to carry it separately. It's technically a separate carry-on. So a lot of these airlines are really starting to hold rigid to it. Some of them, obviously, Frontier, Spirit, the low-cost carriers, that's part of their business model.
Right.
They want to charge you for those online experiences. But the bigger boys are starting to crack down on it because it's causing problems with people boarding the airplane. They've got so much crap and they're trying to put under the seats and jamming up the overheads that are already, congested that they're starting to enforce this and be much more rigid about it.
Yeah. Well, the numbers came out from how much money they made on checked bags and baggage in general last year. And it was like they see this as a major revenue stream. And like, hey, we can milk this for more money. Right, Tom? Have you seen that, too?
They just raised it.
Yeah. They're coming up with more options.
Definitely.
Are we ever going to see an end to this, you think? Or this will just be another feather in the cap for GA? Another reason to like, hey, you may think general aviation's more expensive, but look at what they're doing to you. Eventually, it's going to be much better going our way on many, many more levels than it already is. What do you think?
Yeah, well, the Biden administration keeps going on about these junk fees that they're trying to shut down. I don't know at some point whether they may start focusing on the airlines and consider some of these crazy fees that they're charging for, you know, the right to choose us to even have a seat, to pick a seat.
Right.
You know, a fee to do that. And then, oh, if you want the one over the wing, it's that much more. Mm-hmm. And like you said, if you want to carry on an extra blanket, maybe there's a fee for that as well. So who knows? But it does seem pretty crazy that that they're being so picky about it. On the other end, as one who's also an occasional airline passenger, I kind of get it, because it is a pain to see all these people bring all this stuff on, and then and if they don't use the space under their seat, instead cram everything into the overhead, denying somebody else the ability to access the overhead.
Right.
That's super.
Yeah. No. I mean, I see both sides too. I do. Yeah. But I hate the nickel and diming. Type of stuff. I mean, my little technique is, and this is no big secret, you know, but you are, you know, for guys, you get the personal item, like your laptop. Say if you're bringing a laptop or you know, an iPad or something, I put it in a backpack. And guess what? Yeah. There's a lot more space there that I can throw clothes and God knows what else in. And that's my quote unquote personal item. And
right.
It falls in that category. And I've always thought, like, you know, I'm kind of cheating there, but I got my system. But I probably just blew it by sharing that, didn't I, Dennis?
No. In fact, just a week or two ago on your other show, you were one of the guests was talking about how she packs her scuba gear, her regulator, and a swimsuit in her carry-on bag so that if something gets lost in her regular luggage, she's at least got enough gear to be able to go on the dive boat in a swimsuit.
Yeah.
So.
You just wear it.
Good planning.
Just wear it right on board. You get your big dive jacket on, and I mean, obviously, you can wear your bathing suit, you know, under your clothes. I know people do that all the time, but I don't know. It's a mess.
And now that they're raising check bags to $45 a bag, it's looking at the credit cards is really the only economical option now.
That's right.
One flight, and you've paid for the annual fee on your credit card.
Yep. On that disturbing note, we're going to wrap it up. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.